And he uses them for his purpose and his glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 1, 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And God, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving us, for dying for us. While there was nothing good in us, there was nothing wonderful about us that you saw that deserved your salvation. And Lord, as your sons and your daughters, you use us despite our weaknesses, despite our inabilities. You use us that Christ may be glorified, that Christ may shine through us, that others may see him in us. And for this, Lord, we just say thank you, we glorify you, we praise you. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there are any here who are unsure of their salvation, their soul, that, Lord, you would convict their hearts, that they may come to true repentance and receive Jesus, I pray. We pray in his name, amen. Amen. It never ceases to amaze me the people that God chooses to use. If we were to choose, if I were to choose, if I were God, I would probably choose not the foolish people, but the wise. Not the weak, but I would choose the mighty. Not the base, but the more noble kind of people. The people who are born with a good background, with a good name. I don't know about you, but I often think at times that God, how can God use me? Many people think, how can God use me? I have no ability, no talents. Maybe I don't have enough education. Maybe not enough experience, not enough strength. I haven't had enough opportunities. But God chooses the foolish things, the weak things, the base things. Point number one is this. God has always use the foolish things. This is the amazing thing. Now, when we talk about the foolish things, what we mean is the foolish things in the world's eyes. Not the way that the world would do it. Not the way that you and I would probably choose to do something. Let's take a look at a couple of examples how God has used the foolish things before. The first example is the rock in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 17, the people were thirsty. God's people, the Israelites, were thirsty. They were led out of Egypt by Moses into the wilderness, into the desert, and they were lacking water. They went to God. Moses went to God. And God told Moses what to do. He said in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, he says, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God told Moses to go to that rock and to strike the rock. Now let me ask you a question first. Is this what is commonly advised to do when you're lacking water in the desert? Is this what Bear Grylls would do on one of those survival shows? You just go up to the nearest rock you can find. You hit it hard with a rock or with a stick, and you'll find plenty of water. No, of course not. again, this God chose, he uses what is foolish to do his purpose. He wanted people to see his work, his hand in something. And we also need to see that this rock is a picture. The Old Testament is full of pictures. And this is a picture of Christ. We read about this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Paul says, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So Paul is referring to this episode, this time in the wilderness where God provided for them. And the people drank from that rock. And he tells them that's a picture of Christ. He was their spiritual drink. He was that living water, like he mentioned before. Moses was instructed to strike that rock, to smite that rock. Again, it's a symbolic. Christ was smitten. Christ was struck for our sins, our iniquities as well. Now, there was another time where a similar event took place, and Moses struck the rock and he was chastised for it. Do you remember that? There was another time where the people needed water, and God told Moses this time to go to the rock and to speak to it. And Moses at that time struck the rock, and God chastised him. God judged him, and he called him lacking faith. But the truth is that this being a picture of Christ, Christ was chastised for our sins once. Christ was crucified only once. And Moses disobeyed God in striking the rock the second time. So God used a rock in the desert, though, to provide water for his people. To the world, this is foolishness. This is foolishness. Let's take a look at another example, though. The example of a brass or bronze snake, a serpent. In the book of Numbers 21, we read of this. When God judged the people again for their lack of faith, their lack of belief, lack of obeying him, God judged the people with snake bites. He sent a number of serpents, a number of snakes among the people, and the people suffered. And they cried out to God to save them. God could have just ignored them. God could have said, you have sinned and I'm judging you. But once again, he showed grace. God instructed Moses what to do once again. He was to go and build this brass serpent, the serpent on a pole, and that it was to be lifted up in the center of the camp, encampment, a large encampment. And everyone was instructed, whoever would come and look upon this serpent, look upon this brass serpent, would be healed from their snake bites. Once again, we see a picture. And that picture is described by Jesus in John 3. In John 3, verse 14, when he was speaking to Nicodemus about salvation, about how he must be born again, he gives this picture an example. In verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Was it not strange that God told Moses to make another snake, which was the problem in the first place? But God tells us also that when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, when he died for your sins, he became sin for you. He became sin for you. He who knew no sin became sin for you. And he died for your sin in that way. People had to trust in God, even though it seemed foolish to them. So if they got bit by a snake in that camp, and they were suffering, and they would die, they knew what God had said. But what if they said, you know, that just sounds silly. I don't feel like going anywhere, much less going to, all the way to the center of the camp to look upon a brass pole. What's that going to do? But if they obeyed God, If they believe God, they would listen, they would go, they would look, and they would be healed from their snake bite. How are we saved today? The Bible says that we're saved through the foolishness of the preaching of the cross. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, back to our text chapter, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." So how did it please God to save those? Through the foolishness of the message preached. And to the world, the message of the cross of Christ seems like a foolish message. But to God, this is the means, this is the way of salvation. God has always chosen the foolish things. God has always done things His way, and He wants people to see His hand in it, not their wisdom. If it was up to my wisdom, I might do things my way, do things differently, but He wants me to know it's not Ken Young's wisdom, it's God's. But the second thing we see, God has always used the weak things, not the strongest. Take a look through the Bible and you'd see He doesn't always just take the strongest men. In fact, sometimes He wants to show that, you know, those that are deemed weak defeat the strong. For example, the weakness of a sling in David's hand. We know the story of how David beat the giant Goliath. And by the world's eyes, they were rooting on the side of Goliath. He was the great, tall, big, strong, mighty warrior. David was a young boy. No armor, no weapons except for the sling. Which one would you have placed your bets on? Well, the world would show basically, we'll put our bets on Goliath, thank you. But God has chosen the weak things. We see Moses was chosen by God to go and tell Pharaoh to set the people free. And Moses himself stated that, you know, he was weak. His speech was poor. He couldn't do this. He was incapable. But God wanted Moses, God wanted the Israelites, and God wanted the Egyptians all to see that He was doing the work. They wanted to see Him, His glory, His power, His strength, not Moses. When Jesus came and He chose His 12, He didn't go to the biggest, the strongest. He went to those that were deemed weak by society. He went to those who were common, those who were just ordinary, the fishermen, the workers, and He chose them. And when Paul was writing 1 Corinthians, he counted himself among the weak. He was counting himself among them. The funny truth is this. We are all weak. We are all weak. But it's a question of if you acknowledge it or not. Remember Jesus, He said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Why did Jesus say it was hard for a rich man to enter into heaven? It wasn't that rich people cannot enter heaven. It wasn't that a rich person with a lot of money cannot be a Christian. But a rich person has a hard time recognizing he is weak. A rich person has a hard time recognizing that he has a great need that he cannot meet. Because he's successful, he has it all together, the world looks at him as being strong. And we must come to God humbly, acknowledging our weakness. We are all weak, but will you acknowledge it? We all need God's help each day. We all need God's help, God's strength, God to lift us up. We need God to work through us. And sometimes it's so easy for us to get into our minds, into our heads, that we are strong, that we can do things without God. But the truth is, we are all weak. We all need God, not only for salvation, but for every day of life. You need God. There's a testimony that I would like for you to hear. I'd like you to hear a testimony from one of our own here, Josh Huffman. He has a good testimony of how God, he feels God has used him. God uses him despite his own weaknesses. So Josh, would you come up here, please? Let's welcome Josh to the platform. Do you have a mic? Oh, here we go. Oh, which mic? Thank you, Josh.
Good morning, everyone. I've never really done this before, so this is quite hard for me to talk about. Pastor Ken's second point of the message is about weakness. As many of you may not know, as growing up as a kid, I was always unique, if you want to put it that way, and still am considered, you know, among normal people. But I have been diagnosed with what's called a tic disorder. And so that's why sometimes up here or out there you see me twitching or moving and all sorts of random things. And it's basically caused by a neurological problem in the brain that causes signals to fire randomly, and therefore, you know, you get these random spasms and random movements. And with that comes depression. With that comes anxiety, and with that comes the struggles of giving up and losing hope, because what's more, you know, what's more challenging than not actually being able to be in control of your own body? You know, you feel helpless, and, you know, like you can't do anything about it. But you know, realizing that I am weak, I know that God is strong. And this past year has been the best year of my life, the worst year, and then again the best year. One of them being that I recently got engaged, and that was that was the best part. That was the best part. The worst part is that over this year and past year, physically and mentally, the condition has gotten worse. And for me to actually be standing up here right now and be fine, it's what we call a miracle. You know, I don't know how else to explain it. When I'm teaching the youth, when I'm talking in front of people, I'm fine. God does something, and it's just like, okay, why can't it be like this all the time? That's why I love talking in front of people, because it just completely goes away. For me, you know, when you talk about the Lord is your strength, in Psalms 28, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped." That's the first part of that verse. For me, that first part, "The Lord is my strength," literally every day, I have to pray and ask God to give me strength, because physically it is so demanding of me to be able to try and control and suppress it. Growing up in my teen years, you know, I figured out how to suppress it, how to not make it as noticeable and everything, and I learned how to manage it. But growing up over the years, it has just gotten worse. And I really had to ask God to give me strength, because his strength has, that's the only thing that I can rely on, is his strength to help me get me through. And I know people, you know, that verse means different things to many different people, but to me, it literally means he is my strength to literally help me walk, help me do everyday tasks. You know, this past year and everything, just even walking outside, walking in the shops, walking, it has become a mission. because the condition has become so hard and so, it literally debilitates me to the point of where I just want to stay at home and not do anything. So literally I have to ask God to give me strength just to walk, just to even talk and just do things, like even eat. I'll go ahead and share some of the best parts, but for a long time, these past couple months, it's been really hard for me to even eat because of the condition as well. And I guess that's why I've lost so much weight, is because it's been hard to eat. But as of last Tuesday, I was actually able to eat properly, you know, for the first time in a long time, in months. And people think the small things for granted in life, but for me, that was a big step of accomplishment. And that is what the Lord is my strength and my shield means to me, and my heart trusted in him and I am helped. So everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has things that they go through in life and that they struggle with. You know, and in Proverbs, I have to trust, and it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, as I said before, you know, I'm not in control of my own body, and that's really hard to accept, the fact that I can't have control. And so I literally have to trust God in everyday tasks and getting me through life. You know, what are you trusting God with? I trust God with my life. I trust God that he's going to pull me through. I trust God that he can actually help me accomplish everyday tasks that we may take for granted. You know, that's what that verse means to me. And in Romans 8, verse 28, what we've read this morning as well, and what we talked about in the song, it says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes many people take that verse and they say, oh, yep, everyone who loves God, everything's going to be great. You know, everything's going to work out good. That's not what that verse is saying. Amen. It's saying that you may have struggles, you may have things that you deal with in this life, but eventually, if you stay true and trust God, he will work those things for his good. And during this past couple months, it has actually been the hardest months of my life. It has been, I haven't been depressed, but I've been really, really down because it has gotten worse, and it's kind of just come on to me where I really don't want to do anything anymore. I just can't focus. I can't cope, and, you know, actually, many times in my life and growing up and stuff, I've actually prayed, Lord, either take me home tonight or take this away from me. That's how painful it's been physically for me to cope with, because it puts a lot of strain on my body. But he hasn't done either of those yet, so I know that he has a plan, and I know that he's going to work things out for his good. Because I trust and I know that God, you know, uses the weak. I know that God works all things for his good. Amen. For those who trust him. And these past couple months, it has been very, very hard. It's probably been the darkest time of my life. But in the darkest times of our life, or in my darkest times, I never gave up hope, because I know for a fact that God works in a lot of people's life, just how he used David. You know, many people talk about David and Goliath, and that's the big story. But David's life, he was chased by his own family. His own family wanted to murder him. And that's pretty depressing, actually. That's knowing that your own family wants to kill you. And the things that he was writing in Psalms, and how he was writing and still praising God through his times, that was really uplifting to me. And to see that if he can do that, why can't I? If he can praise God in those times, why can't I? And if he can trust God through those times, why can't I? Paul, as well, he was another thing. Paul, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was tortured, but yet he was still praising God and doing God's work through his life. In 2 Corinthians, what we read this morning in between the songs, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, this is after Paul. We don't really know what his disability was. We don't know what was his issue, but it was described as he had a thorn in his flesh. That's what he described it as. And he said he prayed to God 3 times to take it away from him, but yet God still remained it to happen. But yet he said after this, God said, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's only by God's power that we are made strong. It's only by God's power that I can actually stand here and talk to you with nothing happening. You know, when you see me, when you see the condition come out, because it's not over, you know, I've come to the fact and accept that my tic disorder, it may or may not go away. 50% of people, it goes away, and the other 50% of people, it remains. And if it does remain, then great, you know, that's fine. That's who I am. That's who God's made me to be. But if he takes it away, then even better. Still have that hope that he may do it one day when he seems ready. But at the moment, while I am the way that God's made me, I'm still going to trust him, ask him for strength, and I'm going to pull through because I know that his grace is sufficient, and that's all that we need. So even when you see it come out, okay, I don't want you to look at me as someone who is suffering, someone who is in pain, or someone who is struggling. I want you to look and see that there actually is a God. I want you to see that there actually is a God who can pull through and give people strength. All right? That's what I want you to see. Amen. Is that God gives people strength to those who are suffering, and he helps us when we need him. That's my story.
Amen, Josh.
Okay. So, in the second part of the verse in Psalm 28, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." So I'm going to share with you a song that has really meant a lot to me, that has helped pull me through. And yes, and this song is called "My Story." If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served, and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in, Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. If I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. For the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins. Oh, the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins. Oh, the kindness of Jesus draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thanks, Josh. Man, thank you, Josh, so much. That's not an easy thing to do, to be able to share your difficulties, your struggles. But I believe Josh wants to lift up the Lord and his goodness in his life in doing so. God uses the foolish things, the weak things, and finally, God uses the base things, the scripture tells us. Base, it literally means of an unknown descent, a nobody. Who are you? You're nobody special, nobody of notoriety. But God uses the base things as well. We see God used a nobody to be in the line of Christ. I don't have time to go into all the people that God used in the Old Testament to bring through the Messiah, but we do see in the book of Ruth, for example, the book of Ruth, a story that begins with a funeral and ends with a wedding. It begins with the death of Ruth's husband and Naomi's. And Ruth came from a heathen, ungodly background. She was not a Jew herself. But her love for her mother-in-law and her willingness to obey the word of God brought her such joy and blessing. Had she gone back to her old familiar way, we would not hear of Ruth again. But we see in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, when the genealogy of Jesus Christ is given, there's one line in there in verse 5 that says, Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by who? Ruth. That's Boaz and Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and the list goes on until Jesus Christ. So this Ruth, this nobody, this base person, was used by God as well. God can use you. We see in John chapter 4, when Jesus was discussing with a woman at a well, this woman was a Samaritan woman. And you know the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. They despised the Samaritans. She was a nobody as far as they were concerned. She was not considered a true Jew, not considered one of God's special people. And not only that, but she was a woman. A woman. A Jewish rabbi would never talk to a Samaritan, much less a Samaritan woman. She came from a life of sin when Jesus was talking with her. He asked about her marriage state. And she confessed that she had had many husbands, 5. And the one she was with now wasn't even her husband. And Jesus began to talk to her about the living water that she needed in her life. Took her a while. She didn't quite get it at first. But she went back after her confrontation, after her time with Jesus. She went back to her own people, to her own city. And we see the results in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, in Jesus, because of the word of the woman who testified. Do you see that? God used a base woman. God used her, this woman of an immoral background, this woman of no name, this woman who was a Samaritan. God used her for his glory. God can use you. God wants to use you for his glory. Will you let him? God uses the foolish, the weak, and the base. In closing, what is our response to God? What should your response be to God? Let me give you 3 quick things. Our response. Number 1 is this: acknowledge our need. Acknowledge our need to God. We are of the foolish, weak, and base group. That's us, God. That's me. And like that tax collector in the temple that Jesus spoke of, when he couldn't even look up into heaven, but he beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's our heart. That's our humbleness. We all have need. Some people just are unwilling to acknowledge it. But acknowledge it. Number 2, give glory to God in your need. As a Christian, as a brother, sister, give glory to God in the midst of your needs, in the midst of your struggles, your weaknesses, like our brother Josh was doing. Yes, he would prefer, and his prayer has been, God, take this away. I hate this. I hate this condition. But at the same time, God, I want you to receive glory in it. And if you see fit to leave me with this, then let me bring glory to your name in the middle of it. That needs to be our prayer. Boast in Christ, that you see him work in you despite your weaknesses. As Paul did, verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 1 says, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And if God, if you see fit to keep this condition on me, whatever it may be in your life, whatever your weakness is, then Lord, let it bring glory to you. Now I want others to see you working in me. I want others to see your grace is sufficient in my life in the midst of this. Give glory to God in your need. And then thirdly, ask him for strength. Ask him for strength. You always need God. You always need his strength. Some of you have gone through great difficulties and trials and stresses in life. I know it. I have seen many of you. I've been there with many of you in those stresses and trials. I've seen it. And often at those times, and I praise the Lord, it's often at those times that we acknowledge our great need for God and we go to him. And sometimes our greatest trials in life are our greatest growth times in life. There are greatest times where we pull close to the Lord, because every day we wake up and we acknowledge, God, I need you today. I can't get by another day without you in my life, without your strength. I need your strength. Daily ask God for strength. And when those trials go away, or when it gets better, or the crisis is averted, don't forget how you need God's strength even then. Don't forget it. Because even without the crises, without the difficulty, when everything seems to be going your way, you must acknowledge your need, give glory to God, and daily ask him for strength to live this day for him, for his purpose, his glory. You always need God. Please stand with me now. God chooses to use the foolish, the weak, and the base things. That's us. God wants to use you. Will you let him? Will you let him? Acknowledge your need. Give glory to God in the midst of your need. Daily ask God for strength. Daily ask him for strength. The same is very true for our own salvation. You know, we are sinners in need of a Savior. We are sinners who need forgiveness. And when we come to God, we have to come in that kind of humbleness. God, I am the foolish, I am the weak, I am the base, I'm a nobody, but you love me. God, I need you, I acknowledge my need, I give glory to you. I ask you for strength. And so we come to God for salvation. But often what a Christian brother or sister does is they go through their life and say, thanks God, but I can handle it from here now. Thanks for saving me, but I got it now. And God wants you to see, no. He wants to receive the glory in your life. In your life, he wants to use the foolish, the weak, and the base so that he can be seen, not you. Christian, what is it that you are facing in your life? Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to give God the glory in the midst of it. And say, God, even in this, I want to praise you. Even in the middle of my suffering, in the middle of my hardship, my trial, I want to give you the glory in it. I want people to see you in it. Your grace is sufficient for meeting all my needs. I'm not saying don't ask God to deliver you from such. But God, I want you to have glory right in the middle of this time. Acknowledge your need. Daily ask God for strength in it. Draw close to him. Draw close to him. And if the need is taken away, if this hardship is finally taken away, don't forget how much you need God. Is there anybody here, though, who might not be in the faith yet? There's never been that time that you've come to God and acknowledged your need, humbled yourself, repented of your sin, and receive Jesus as your Savior. Whatever your need is, God can meet that need this morning. I invite you to respond to the Lord at this time. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word to us. I thank you for the words of hearing our brother's testimony. Lord, thank you for saving and using those of us who are weak and foolish and nobodies. But Lord, receive the glory in our lives. May Christ be seen in us. May we, your people, respond to your word now and lift up Jesus, no matter what we're going through right now. Lord, I pray for any who might need to trust Jesus at this time. They never have. I pray they would come in humility, in faith, receive Jesus today. We ask these things in His name. For the next few minutes, the invitation is open. Would you come? Whatever your need is, would you come? If you'd like to spend some time with the Lord at the front, kneeling before Him, come. If you have a need that you'd like to pray with somebody about, come. Take me by the hand. Say, Pastor Ken, I just want to pray with somebody. Maybe your need is for salvation. If your need is salvation, you need to be saved. You know that you are still in your sins. They're not forgiven. Would you come? Take me by the hand again and just say, Pastor Ken, I want to trust Jesus today. I need to trust Him. Would you come? Come now, don't delay. A few more moments. If God is working in your heart, you want to come, whatever your need is, I pray and I ask, don't delay anymore. Please. Lord, I want to lift up my brothers and sisters. Lord, I believe there are many that you have spoken to this morning about various things. But perhaps many have been going through some of their own trials, their own difficulties. And I thank you, Lord, for reminding us that You can receive all the glory in the midst of our trials and difficulties. Jesus Christ can be glorified in it. So, Lord, I pray that your people would be quick to praise the Lord in the midst of these things. Lord, thank you for saving us. Though, Lord, you have always used the foolish. You have always used the weak and the base means to confound the wisdom of this world. Lord, the world doesn't understand these things. Even the message of salvation, the message of Jesus, is foolishness to the world. But it's what you have chosen to use to save us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat for a couple of moments as we have a few announcements.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning, and thank you, Josh, for the testimony. really happy what the Lord's doing in Josh's life as well. This morning, the announcements, if you have on the inside pages, just take a look on the right-hand side, just a few things. The light party that we have scheduled for next Saturday, the 31st of October, that's at 6 o'clock. It's going to be right here for children up to 12 years old. Now, that don't mean that parents can't come, because parents, there's going to be some food and snacks and things going on here as well. So come along, bring your children, invite some from the neighborhood that may like to come out. And if you'd like to be a part of helping out with the light party next week, see Pastor Chad, and he'll give you all the details as to what he needs and how you can be a part of that. And then also, we have our fundraiser for the Young Adults Retreat and the conference that's coming up. It's a garage sale. So what we're asking is that if you have some items that you would like to donate to the garage sale that's going to take place on the 14th of November, then bring those in. See Pastor Ken's daughter, Gretchen. She's kind of collecting and putting those things. I don't know where she's putting them. Is it all at your house? I don't know. But see Gretchen about that. She's going to tell you how you can bring those things in and what we'll be doing with them until that yard sale or garage sale takes place. Everything that is raised up as far as fund-wise from that will be sent to the Young Adults Conference and Retreat. Also, our missionaries that we're praying for this week, Michael Kaburu, his wife Beatrice, continue to pray for them and their ministry there in Kenya and how the Lord is using them, as well as our other missionaries. And we have posted the newest letters on the board, the missions board, just in the back. So take some time and read through them this week and be sure and pray for our missionaries. I think that's all of the announcements for this morning. But before we're dismissed, maybe we can just take a moment and recognize if you're having a birthday or an anniversary celebration this week. Anyone having a birthday this week? From today, Sunday, through this coming Saturday. Anyone with a birthday? Here comes Hendra. He's such a young man now, Hendra is. Jean. Anyone else with a birthday? Anyone else coming up with a birthday this week? Or did we miss you last week, if your birthday was last week? Yes, we did. Come on up here. Come on up. Anyone else? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Any wedding anniversaries? No wedding anniversaries? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed.
Is she here, Mrs. Horn? Oh, she is? Oh, well, she was here. I was just reminded it was her birthday last week, but she wasn't here either. Okay, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Have a cup of coffee, tea, and in a few minutes, we're going to be back in here. JoJo and myself will be sharing with you guys some of our mission trip from last week or the week before. In China. So we encourage you to come and watch, listen, see what God is doing over there from at least our eyes and perspective. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for using us despite ourselves. Thank you for using the foolish, weak, and the base. Lord, may we always acknowledge our need and for you at all times. Dismiss us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.